Hey guys, real quick before we get started, we are doing a free giveaway for listeners between now and May 31st. Cash prizes, free swag, yacht meetup tickets, San Diego Padre tickets, and more. All you got to do to qualify is go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and drop a 5-star review. Send a screenshot to giveaway@summerscapital.com and we'll be selecting lucky winners May 31st. As always, I appreciate the support. Now let's jump into the show.
You know more than anyone, you can make millions of dollars doing any of these strategies. So I'm like, dude, I want to do the one that's most fun for me. And like, for me, what really wets my whistle is like, I want to buy some like badass boutique luxury properties, some trophy properties where I can like, somebody sees that and they think of me and they think of me and they see that property and they're like, that's synonymous with each other.
Welcome to the Rich Summers Report, where we talk real estate, business, and wealth building, all while keeping it real. No fluff, no BS. I hope that you enjoy the show.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of The Report. Today, I got someone who I've been excited to get on the pod, excited to connect with. He's doing some big stuff in the business, real estate, and podcast space. He's got his own podcast as well. I got my man, Brian Lubin. Brian, welcome to the show, brother.
Dude, what is up? I'm so excited to be on here, man. We'll earn every single minute of the listener's time. We're here to drop some bombs, baby. Drop some value.
Drop some bombs, man, like Brad Lee says. Excited to have you on. I think it was Gideon who connected us on Instagram.
Yep.
And I'm like, looking at your content, I'm like, dude, your content is sick. I'm like, we got a lot in common, man. You were a W-2 employee before you got into entrepreneurship, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Dude, me too. Now you get a podcast. I got a podcast. You're traveling, which is really badass. Dude, you were in Colombia recently, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Medellin?
Medellin, baby. Yeah, I live in Colombia. I live in Colombia a couple months out of the year. And then besides that, Austin, Texas is home. But yeah, now it's like what I'm doing right now is we call it earn your summer. So every Q1, Q2 is we have to do something that's like really, really hard and like earn the ability to go have fun during the summer. So when I left my job, which we'll get into in a second, I was just like, from now on, I want to bake and plan fun intentionally and proactively into my year. So Jesse Itzer calls it like your Misogi, which is like your year defining thing. Like what hard thing can I do that bookmarks the year for the rest of my life? So I do that with like a challenging thing, but I also do it with a really fun thing.
Give me an example of that.
Yeah. So for instance, like last year I wrote a book and the year before that, like I quit my corporate job. So I was just like working the 6-figure job, was making $250,000 a year. I was number 8 out of 5,079 reps, which whenever somebody says it at the top of the company, like sometimes that maybe there's 12 people. Like I was number 8 out of 5,079, dude. I was wheeling. And I thought I was going to do that forever until I realized, I looked at my boss's boss, which is advice I'd give to people that are listening to this, that are on the fence about, is it time for me to make the leap? Your boss's boss is you in 5 years if you kick ass, if you're crushing it. That's your best case scenario. And I looked at that guy. I was just like, dude, you're overweight. Like you're not seeing your daughters grow up. You're booked in 15-minute increments on your calendar. I was like, so you're telling me that if I kick tail and I'm crushing this, I'm going to have less freedom and less fun in my life? I was like, can't do that. So I started buying real estate, started up my own business, left, traveled full-time around the world for 8 months. And then ever since that point, now it's like every single year, I'm like, what hard thing can I do? So I wrote the book this year. I haven't identified my hard thing yet of like the difficult thing that I'm doing. So right now we're like completely revamping our business. And then the fun thing that we're doing that's going to bookmark the year is this summer we're doing Europe. I'm doing a month and a half. I'm going to go run with the bulls in Pamplona. I'm going to go to the south of France, rent a convertible, go all up and down south of France, Monaco, Monte Carlo, Cannes, Saint-Tropez. Then I'm going to go to Venice, ride in the canals, going to go to Egypt, see the pyramids, going to go to Greece, and then skydive Dubai to finish
nice,
it all off.
I love that, man. Yeah. I think a month and a half is like, it's a good size trip to where you can actually really get a good taste of what it's like to kind of have that financial freedom and travel around. And it is the true sense of freedom to be able to travel and see the world. And then if you think about the perspective change when you get to travel for that long, you get to see life and you get to see the world through a different lens. You come back. And you're a changed man or a changed woman. And dude, I feel you, man. I haven't had a chance to travel too much in the last year and a half because I've just been building it. I've been in the trenches. But this year I do plan to take some time, maybe like around August. August is my birthday month. And I like kind of traveling that time of year. I feel like weather's great, at least in the northern hemisphere, the weather's great. And, you know, a lot of the kids go back to school. So it's a great time for me to travel. So I was thinking of doing something cool, but I love the itinerary that you just mentioned, man. And dude, that's awesome. So tell me, what were you doing with your day job? It sounds like a sales position.
Yeah, B2B sales.
Okay.
So I was doing the least sexy thing possible. And even how I started investing in real estate was the least sexy thing possible. So if somebody's listening to this and they're like, hey, how do I quit my job, travel around the world, build my own business? Like, this is the show where we're going to tell them, okay, step by step, this is how you do it in a very non-sexy way. And I've got another phrase, like, earn your sexy. Like, you could do the sexy stuff later. Like, you're wheeling and dealing, buying these boutique hotels. Like, you can earn the ability to do that. But in the beginning, you don't start that way. So, like, I was selling uniforms. And I'm actually, like, looking back, I'm so blessed that I had the job that I did because I learned how to sell anything to anyone. Like, I was selling uniforms to factory workers. I worked for, I won't say the company, but I was working for this company where it's just like anybody that has a name tag or needs a badge, like we were providing their uniforms, anything from hospitals to restaurants to factory workers. So I learned how to sell to the C-suite. I learned how to sell to the owner of a mechanic shop. And so I learned sales like truly by doing the thing.
Selling uniforms. So when you say C-suite, like what kind of uniforms are we talking?
So like, for instance, if you think of like, I'll tell you some of the deals I closed. Like I closed a national contract with Coca-Cola, Chick-fil-A. They have a lot of factories across the country. And so like a lot of the factory workers, like they'll be wearing like their uniforms because you don't want to get your normal clothes dirty. And then so we'd pick them up, wash them, like bring them new uniforms every single week. So it was like a contract-based sale. So it was like a five-year contract. And so I would go meet with like the CFO of Coca-Cola. Like by the end in the twilight of my career, I was the top. So I was the guy that they would fly out to say, hey, we want this national deal done. Like we're going to fly you out and like, let's get this deal done. And that's what I did. And it was really cool and it was really fun until like I just realized that I was driving to work. I had this like small account that was a lead and I was driving out into the middle of the country. It was in person and it was like an hour and a half away from my where I was living in North Atlanta at the time in a house hack. And I was just like, I had this moment that so many people listening to this podcast have had or are about to have if you're listening to this show, which is I just realized there's so much more to my life than what I'm doing here. And I'm the best at what I'm doing.
Mm.
And like, there's so many people in corporate jobs right now, even yourself included, where you had this realization where you're like, I'm crushing it, but I could do so much more. Like my life is so much more than where I'm at in this cubicle today. And that's what I realized. I was like, why am I selling uniforms? Like, I do, there's so much more to me and that so much more impact that I have to give to the world than doing what I'm doing today. And then like that was like that light bulb moment where I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to do something different. And I got to figure out my own path.
So, and I agree with you. I mean, I think for me, I got to a place, I was an air traffic controller for 11 years for the FAA as an air traffic controller. And I loved it. And I still like looking back and thinking about the job, like I still miss like working those sessions with, you know, a lot of aircraft and like it's engaging, right? It forces mm-hmm. you to think. I do miss that adrenaline rush that would come with it. But I don't miss the shift work and working weekends and nights and holidays. I got to a point where I felt like I was plateauing and I no longer felt like I was growing. And once I reached that, that's when I started really digging into the real estate investing stuff. And I looked at it as a vehicle to get out of that day job. So I guess my question for you is, how did that conversation with real estate investing come to fruition? Because that was the vehicle for you to get out of the day job, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was more so a change in intention, right? So my love, it is the answer to the question is actually like podcasting. So I was listening to sales podcasts 24/7, which if anybody's trying to get ahead in whatever field that they're doing, especially sales, like here's what I recommend to be the top sales rep in whatever company that you're doing and make six figures. To work and from work was an hour for me. That's 2 hours a day. So instead of listening to the music, I'd listen to podcasts. And I did the math and I was like, if I do 2 hours of podcasts a day, that's 10 hours of podcast per week. That's 40 hours of podcast per month. I was like, so I'm getting a full week's worth of training while everyone else is like doing nothing. And I'm like able to have fun with my friends outside of work. And just that put me ahead like so fast.
What's the number one sales podcast if someone's out there that wants to learn how to just crush it in sales?
I couldn't even tell you anymore. I was just listening to them all. But then when I realized that I was like time to leave, I started looking up Financial Freedom Podcast. And I came across Bigger Pockets and got the real estate bug. And I started listening to that one. And I switched the sales podcast, real estate podcast. And then I made the intention where I was just like, I'm going to go buy a property. I'm going to go do this thing. And naturally, of course, every single one of my friends, family, close acquaintances said that that was a great idea, right?
Dude, it's the power of the podcast, man. And it's funny because, you know, we're laughing about this, but it's so true. When I was in the break room, I overheard, this is how it started for me, I overheard my coworker talking about how he just closed on a fourplex in Cleveland. And I said, how did you do that? And he goes, go read this book and go listen to this podcast. And it was the Bigger Pockets podcast. And I started binge listening to it. And literally just like hearing these interviews and hearing these conversations and hearing all these different stories of these different folks that have successfully done it really was inspiring me. And that was really what like led to it. And here's the other thing I'll say is, out of all these different platforms that we're on, like TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, Twitter, and then you got the podcast platform. The podcast platform, the listeners, the demographic are actually the most educated. They're trying to, I mean, think about it. They're driving to work. They're driving home from work. They're in the gym. They're listening. They're trying to legitimately better their lives versus just waste time scrolling 30-second TikToks or 45-second Instagram reels. And so the demographic that listens to the podcast, they are the most sophisticated. They're the smartest, the most intelligent, and they tend to have the highest net worth out of all the people that listen to all those different platforms out there.
Y'all better leave Rich a 5-star rating and review. He's gassing y'all up. But yes. No, seriously, dude, like that's why we started Action Academy podcast. Like, to be completely honest, like in sales, I learned the most important lesson, which is if you want to accomplish anything, there is somebody that has done it before you. Just like real estate investing, just like entrepreneurship. Just like buying businesses, which I prefer buying businesses over starting businesses, but I started one, which is the most difficult thing to do like you did. People have done things before you. So I call it like, I've got this acronym I use, which is WAM, where are my models? So when I was a sales rep, I was like, okay, I'm not going to spend years and years of my life and my time figuring out how to be the best at this. I'm going to find the best sales rep. I'm going to simply ask him, what do you do each and every week to be this best sales rep? And I found her. She was in Wyoming, ironically. I'm like, how the hell are you the top sales rep in Wyoming? I called her when I was like 2 weeks in. I said, hey, I'm brand new. Tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. And I ran her playbook, Rich, and it worked. So then I was like, well, why don't I just repeat the process when it comes to real estate investing? So like I listened to the podcast and I did the thing. I did the house hack strategy. I was buying one property a year, co-living it out, renting out the other bedrooms, living on one side. And like that's what built my first $4,000 a month of passive income. And then I realized I make $20,000 a month. Like, this shit's not going to cut it with the time frame that I have. And I call this the three levels of clarity, which is directional, sequential, tactical. So directional, I knew I wanted to be out of the job traveling around the world. Sequential, how fast do I want to do that? I want to do that in the next 1 to 2 years, which leads to the tactics. I can't just keep buying a house a year to pull this off. I have to either buy a business, start a business, or do a completely different strategy to fit within my parameters. So most people do it backwards. They start with the how and the end with the where. So that's why I recommend they start with the where and the end with the how. And all of this to land the plane, this all goes back to how do I figure out how to do the things? So I did the directional, I did the sequential. Now, how do I do the actual strategies? How do I buy commercial real estate? How do I start my business? How do I buy a business? And I didn't know those answers. So I started up the podcast, Action Academy, to just ask the people, like multimillionaires that were financially free, how the hell did you do it? And I did that. And because I did that, I literally just copied their models and I used that to build my own business. And now our tagline is we hit $1 million of revenue with our personal business from the podcast before we hit 1 million downloads.
Dude, so I love that,
I can
man.
Do that while traveling full time around the world.
I love that. And so many people are like, hey, I want to start a podcast, but I don't think I should. And, you know, I don't know enough or I don't feel like I have enough experience in order to start the podcast. So I'm going to wait. But I'm like, I love that you rolled that out. And I did the same thing. I started a podcast, my old one, back in 2019, before I even owned any real estate. I just started interviewing real estate investors, apartment investors. And I just started asking them legitimately questions that I had about my journey. And dude, the value that I got just interviewing folks and having a 1 hour conversation once a week with folks that had a lot of real estate was like, oh my gosh, it was a game changer. And then you build a connection with them. And then, hey, now you have each other's phone numbers. You have any questions, like they'll answer my text or pick up my phone call if I had a question. And it was like one of my early podcast episodes, one of the guests actually ended up mentoring me and teaching me like everything I know today, from how to raise private capital, how to put together these deals, how to underwrite these larger deals. And that was a game changer. And that was all because I decided to start a podcast before I knew anything about real estate investing.
Can I share something about that that's like going to blow people's brains?
Yes.
So I was golfing with a mentor of mine. And I was really good at getting into these mastermind groups and getting into the rooms, right? because I was a sales guy. So I was like, I'm going to figure out how to prospect my way into like these guys' worlds and add value in any way that I can. And I was golfing with him and I was talking about the idea of the podcast. And I was like, until I have 100 doors, I feel like that's when I'm going to start the podcast. And he looks at me and he goes, huh, most selfish thing I've ever heard. Selfish? What the hell you talk about, dude? He's like, you're letting your own fear of other people's opinions directly rob them of access to the information that you have today.
So good.
And the relationships that you have today. You're being selfish. And so a lot of people don't even have a fear of failure. They have a fear of appearance of failure. And so that's where this imposter syndrome comes from. Because if you're in the gym and you're trying to deadlift and nobody's in the gym and you can't pick up the weight, whatever. But if you have an audience, you're like, oh my God, like I look weak to these people. So when he said that, it completely changed everything in my brain. And I was just like, dude, I owe it to other people to expose them to the relationships that I have privately and learn in the process. So now our podcast is literally, I'm like, hey, I can position, and there's two positionings in content. You can position yourself as the enthusiastic beginner or the grizzled veteran. So like for me, no matter how much real estate I buy, no matter how many businesses I build, I always position myself as the beginner. And so right now it's like we've built a couple million-dollar companies and it's been super fun. But now it's like my podcast is a journey of how to go from zero to $10 million a year while traveling full-time around the world. And I'm not at $10 million a year yet. So I just push that goalpost out and I get to still be the beginner asking other people that do $10 million a year, how the hell did you do it?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all a matter of positioning and it's way more fun to do content that way.
Yeah. No, it totally is. And then to break it down a step further, I think you got two types of content. You got entertainment and you got education.
Yeah.
And I think for most folks out there, unless you are a celebrity, movie star, athlete, and you already have like a fan base and a bunch of followers, I think education is how you're going to grow the fastest, providing value, right? And, I think you don't need to have a lot of experience to interview people. You don't need to have a lot of experience to document your journey. No matter what stage you are in your entrepreneurship or real estate investing journey. So I always say, man, get out there. Podcast is a game changer. So for any listeners out there right now that are interested or even thought about remotely starting a podcast, I will 100% say, and Brian, I'd love to hear your thoughts. It is the secret sauce. It is the secret sauce because one, it holds you accountable to the relationships that you build. It builds trust. And if you do it every single week for a year, in your case, you're doing how many a week?
Five.
Five episodes a week.
Across 37 countries, seven time zones.
Look at that. And, it's a game changer because a lot of people are willing to post a little bit on social media, but not a lot of people are willing to put in the work to put out a podcast. And if you look at a lot of the podcasts, a lot of them die after a month, 3 months. Most of them don't make it past 3 months. And so if you can just put one out once a week for 12 months, you're already in the top like few percent, literally. So I don't know. I think it's a secret sauce. And so I would say for anyone out there that's interested, you should do it.
Can I give people the secret sauce?
Let's hear it. Let's hear
it. Can I give them the number one tip how to be a freaking superstar podcaster, superstar social media influencer so they can hit financial freedom? Do 100 podcasts.
Mm.
Do 100 videos. And here's the best part. But Brian, I'm not that good yet. I'm going to suck. Thank God the algorithm exists. Your content is going to be terrible. Your podcast probably isn't going to be that great. Your questions are going to be fluffy. They're not going to be to the point. You're going to have no idea what you're talking about. Good. That's what the algorithm exists for. Your good content gets pushed out more. So
yes.
Nobody's going to, maybe 17 people, your aunt and maybe a couple of friends, like 17 people will see or listen to that first couple of podcasts. Dude, I was making like, by the time I made like $10,000 a month for my podcast, I had like 2,000 like people listening a month. And now it's like getting up towards 100,000. But it's just like, you don't need that many people and you get better and you get better and you get better by repeated action. And so people are waiting for the confidence to take action, but it's the taking of the action that builds the confidence.
It's so good, dude. And I agree. And here, I'll take it a step further. Like for anyone out there to think or to even have the expectation that you're going to be 10 out of 10.
Tim Ferriss, first podcast.
First podcast or first piece of social media content. It's like, it doesn't even make sense, you know? And I go back. I mean, I see stuff from a year ago even or a year and a half ago. I'm like, ooh. I'm like, dude, I thought that was good back then, but I'm like, it almost makes me cringe, you know? I was actually doing a call with my mastermind last week and it was basically on content, using social media and podcasting to build your personal brand. And I went back to like look at the last 2 years of content and what worked, what didn't work. And so I was basically like providing like, these are the things that work for me. And these are the things that didn't work for me. And I was looking back, I found a screenshot from when I first started like really pushing out content on social media. And it was actually less than 2 years ago. It was 23 months ago exactly to when I started pushing out content. And I had a screenshot of my Instagram handle. I had like 4,000 followers. And I told my mastermind, I said, when I first started pushing out social media content daily, I actually lost followers for like the first 6 weeks before I started gaining followers, because a lot of folks that follow me from high school and college friends and, you know, coworkers, they don't want to see the real estate content. They don't want to see that thing. And so I think that could be very discouraging for a lot of folks to do it for 6 weeks. You start losing followers, and then for you to keep pushing through, and then eventually you start gaining and attracting followers that are into you for whatever that content might be.
I don't want to feel annoying.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't want to feel annoying. You don't want to promote yourself and that sort of thing. But I don't know, man. I was reading Patrick Bedavid's book, one of his books. I'm a big fan of PBD, but he is saying, like, dude, like all the big names out there, you know, they shamelessly promote themselves. You know, the Conor McGregors, the LeBron James, like all these folks out there, like you have to promote yourself. And that's just the name of the game. I mean, attention is the new currency, like it or not. It's the future.
I've been there. Like, I've gone through it. And also, like when I was in a long-term relationship before, and then I got out of it a couple years ago, and then I was just like, ooh, you know. And all my, like, my account, for people that are listening that have no idea who I am, like, my social media is like growing now. Like, I think I've got like almost 300,000 on Instagram. I think I've got, we're getting up on like a million followers in total.
And when did you start like taking your content seriously?
Like early last year, 2023.
Okay.
Like, started just posting videos, and I was, because before it was just a normal Instagram, and I had the same thoughts and the same feelings that everybody else had, which is just like, I'm just a guy, you know, I don't want to, like, all this stuff has been in secret. I had the podcast going for 3 years now, but like, I don't really talk about it. Just once a week I post it. But besides that, I was just like, okay, I'm going to start actually taking this content thing seriously, because I want to help a million people replace corporate with cash flow. And the only way that I can do that is through these videos. And so the only way that I was able to like push through that fear of upsetting like the people that I already knew was, I was like, for each person I upset that I already know, that's not a person that's actually truly a friend. Because anybody that's truly a friend and is like looking out for me, they're going to ride with me regardless. So, okay, cool. So your fair weather friends are gone. Congratulations. You won. Awesome. Maybe your aunt goes, screw you, Aunt Kathy. Like, you're not financially free now. Like, you don't get to ride on Rich's boat.
Right.
And for each person that leaves, you have 100 people that you're helping and possibly changing their lives. I did one video that was talking about habits. And this wasn't even a banging video, as the kids would say. You know, it wasn't like a 100,000 or a million view video. It had 5,000 views. I was like, crap video, right? Fast forward a year later, I left it up. Whatever. Just keep trucking. A woman messaged me and she goes, I watched that video a year ago. And that was the video that convinced me to go to the gym. And I've lost 112 pounds since that point from watching that video. I've never talked to her before. I never talked to her since. She just said, thank you for posting that one video. And that was a video that I thought flopped. So it's just like, you don't know what's happening. I've had people come to me and say, I bought a car wash, dude. And I comment on their Facebook post, dude, that's sick. You just replaced your corporate job. Yeah, I listened to your podcast 7 months ago. You had this guy on that was talking about car washes. I started taking action from it. You don't know. I mean, and you know more than anybody, when you're doing a podcast, it's just you're speaking into the void. And you're like, can you guys like tell me if I'm doing okay? Like, mm-hmm. Are you guys vibing with this?
Yes, totally.
Right? Yeah. Like, what's up, guys? But like, there's thousands of people that listen to you, that listen to me. And every single bit, that's why I try to like scatter little like nuggets and like takeaways, so that like one phrase, one idea can completely change someone's life. And that's what it's about.
So what I'm curious, what is your biggest takeaway? I mean, you were, you know, a W-2 employee, and you plateaued, you weren't growing, and now you got this podcast and the content, and you're traveling over the world, mm-hmm. 30 countries. What is your biggest takeaway looking back?
Biggest takeaway looking back is that financial freedom is the beginning of life, not the end. So everyone views financial freedom, all these podcasts, all these books, up to the point where I wrote the book. So I wrote the book From Passive to Passionate, How to Quit Your Job, Grow Your Wealth, Turn Your Passions into Profits.
Thank you for the copy, by the way. It's a good looking book.
Oh, yeah, man. We worked on that cover hard. For people that are listening, we've got like two shoes, and that's our dual shoe logo for
Action
Academy.
I like how you got Benjamin Franklin on here on a sandal.
Yeah, we've got like a cash flip-flop, and we got a corporate Cole Haan shoe that shows the different routes you can take. So the idea is, how do you replace corporate with cash you can make on the beach? And we call that passionate income. And that's my biggest thing is, people act like when you hit financial freedom, you hit that $10,000 a month of passive income, life ends. Congratulations, I won the game. Like, I did it. I did financial freedom. Now what? So like what I tell everybody is, I think genuinely, and you can disagree or agree with me, I think anyone from zero to financially free with the right intention, with the right community, with the right people, 2 years, 2 to 3 years max, you can hit financial freedom. You're proof of it. I'm proof of it. There's a lot of life to live afterwards. And financial freedom is only the first level of freedom. After that, it's time freedom. And then the last level of freedom is mental and emotional freedom. So it's like, okay, cool. You have your money, right? Let's get everyone rich so they can realize it's not the answer to happiness, right? Because I know a lot of, you do too, a lot of pissed off, miserable millionaires and billionaires because they didn't do it right. Because now you've got your financial freedom. Now it's time freedom. So show me somebody that makes millions of dollars. I'd be like, all right, let's do a podcast episode. Show me someone that does it, but has complete control of their schedule. I'm like, that's a freaking entrepreneur. That's a business owner right there. And it's a huge difference. And that's like maybe 5% of everybody that I meet where they're like, on a Tuesday, can you like carve out time to do what you want, when you want, with who you want, right? Truly, which is financial freedom at its core. After you have control of your schedule and you have control of your finances, then you're left with what's called margin. Now you're just like off to the races. You can do anything you want. And that's what I did in July of 2022. I hopped on a one-way flight, flew to Greece, lived in the Greek islands for a month, and I was traveling full-time.
I'll say this, though, and this is going to be the other argument to this coin, and I agree with you.
Sure.
So, like, I went from full-time air traffic controller to financial freedom, and I quickly got bored, and I traveled and all that. So I got bored, and I'll say this. So now, yes, I do have the ability to, if I want to, like, you know, go take a couple weeks off or whatever I want to do, I could go do that. However, I will say for what I want to grow, and I want to grow a really big thing, and I'm very obsessed with my craft, and I want to build a big thing here, right? And I know in order for me to build that big thing in the shortest time horizon and get my best opportunity to get there as quickly as possible, that is going to require me being in the trenches and building this with my team versus being hands off. Hey, I'm out playing golf and traveling. For me, because that's what I want. I want to go to the top, right? And so I will say, yes, the financial freedom stuff is great if that's what you want. But if you really value building a big thing and you want to get there as quickly as possible, it's not going to happen quicker than you being, it's going to happen the quickest, and you're going to have the best chance of getting there if you are in the trenches building it with your team. And that's why I'm here all the time, dude. And I fucking love this shit.
That is the point of everything. If somebody listens to this podcast and gets one point, they think, and I've done 1,000 calls with people, like, because our day job is like, how do you replace $10,000 to $30,000 a month in passive income so that you can quit your job, travel around the world, build your own business? That's the kicker. Build your own business. Because once you're out of your job, everyone was like, okay, cool. Now I'm just going to go lay on the beach and do nothing. Hell no, you're not. Because you have now, once you hit financial freedom, like, you're now like maybe like economically free, but you're not emotionally and mentally free. You have to do things. You have to build things. You're an entrepreneur now. You've become a new person. So it's exactly what you just said. I work more today than I've ever worked before in any job that I have. I probably work 80 to 100 hours a week because it's what's required to do the impact and provide like what we're trying to do with our businesses. And I call that passionate income.
That's the passionate about
your
book. Yeah.
Passionate income.
But it's so, by choice.
Yeah, but it's by choice because you don't have to do it for the economics, but you choose like, so people talk about financial freedom as like choosing to do what you want, when you want, with who you want. I argue that it's actually choosing to work on what you want, when you want, with who you want, because we're supposed to continue working. But now the game is, how can you choose what you work on? Because now you work more because you're fired up about it and you have impact and you have purpose and fulfillment from it. And like, that's what I want to get everybody to. And I don't care if they want to build like something like me and you are building, where you're like, I want to do like massive things, massive portfolios. Even if they want to just like be able to like open up a coffee shop or a bike shop, a mountain bike shop, and like just pick their kids up from school. Hell yeah. But I'll tell you, the worst way to ruin your love of mountain biking is to quit your job and go open up a mountain bike store where you're reliant on the income. Because then, and if you're in Denver, Colorado, there's 30,000 mountain bike shops. And now you're going to be pissed off about it. So what you do is you buy the underlying assets, the real estate, the businesses, the stocks, to provide you the passive income so that you can do that and truly do it for the love of it. And ironically, which will lead to more income down the road. But instead of like, so we build the foundation passively so that you can work on the active.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Actually 100% with you.
Yeah, totally. And so I don't know. I mean, and everyone has a different goal, right? And different target. And that's going to evolve over time based on where you are in life, but also like your surroundings. You know, as we evolve, as we grow, our social surroundings will change. And, you know, things will change mentally. So everyone's different. But for me, man, you know, I'm obsessed with this thing. And I mean, I'm always looking for an edge, right? And so I recently decided to give up drinking for a period of time. And initially I was like, I'm just going to give it up for a little bit and see what this life's about. I've never done this in my entire life. And dude, I'm only 11 days in right now, but I'm like loving it. This is like, I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock every night. I'm up early. I'm in the gym first thing in the morning. And what I've found is I just have so much more time where I'm operating at 110% every single day. And one of my biggest takeaways in my life actually happened this past weekend. Yeah, I always thought, and it was a limiting belief, I always thought that if I wasn't drinking, I couldn't go out into a social setting, into the nightlife, and go out and have fun and enjoy myself. So I always thought, if I'm not drinking, well, then I'm just not going to go out. And I think that's how most people operate. But I went out this past weekend, and I knew I wasn't going to drink. And I went out to dinner Friday night. My buddy was, you know, in a contest. My buddy's a promoter. Shout out to Sean Coughlin out here in San Diego. He is probably the biggest promoter out here in San Diego, but he was up to win a Mercedes-Benz on Friday night. So he's like, hey, can you come support me on Friday night? I'd love your support. I was like, I'll go out there. So I went out. And dude, what I found was I'm sober. I'm around all these people that are drinking. And I actually found that I actually enjoyed it more being sober than drinking. I was more in tune. I was more present. My conversations with folks was a lot deeper. And I actually made connections with new folks that night and went home decent hour. And I woke up the next morning, zero hangover. I remembered everything. And then this carried on throughout the whole weekend. So Saturday, Sunday, I'm up early working out. I'm working on the business on the weekend. And then I went out Saturday night. I hit a bunch of different things, right? There was concerts in town. It was Cinco de Mayo weekend. So there's all these good concerts in town, all these like after parties. And I'm probably like the only sober person in a lot of these like settings. And I realized I'm like, I'm the sharpest motherfucker in this room. I'm the most dialed. I'm the most present. And like, dude, it felt great. And I think a lot of people feel like they got to have a drink to kind of let their guard down, to kind of loosen up. But dude, I'm already loose sober. You know, all these podcast interviews that we have, it's like over and over and over. Like, I'm just like, I'm loose, you know?
Living in your passion.
I feel like
purpose.
I can talk to anyone sober and it's totally fine. And so I realized, it was my biggest takeaway. I realized, dude, I actually enjoy this more than actually being drinking and being intoxicated or on some sort of substance. And so I'm like, dude, this might be my new way of life. And so it's almost a game for me now. I'm like, okay, well, you know, what's going to take me the next 3 to 4 years to build out and accomplish? Let me see if I can accomplish it in the next 7 months by the end of this year, right? And to give myself the best opportunity to do that, you know, I'll be sober. And yeah, so I don't know, dude, I'm kind of addicted to this. I'm listening to like some Andrew Huberman stuff on like the effects of alcohol and like what it does to your brain. And like, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to start documenting the end of each week, kind of my biggest takeaways, what's changed mentally for me, how much more I was able to accomplish. And then after 100 days, I'll do like a vlog on it. And then I'll probably do like a podcast on like 100 days, no drinking. This is like my biggest takeaways.
Dude, it's all about clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like you know exactly where you're going and you know exactly how fast you want to get there. 7 months. So you're like, okay, cool. I know what's required. It's time to shut the fuck up and get to work.
Yeah.
You know, have you heard of navigation and acceleration?
No.
So it's the two different seasons of life that you pivot between. Right now you are full blown 100% in acceleration mode. So acceleration and navigation. So like when I learned it, it's from a book called The Buddha and the Badass. When I first went to go travel, like I read that book and I was just like, oh my God, because I'd just done a really hard thing. And like yourself and so many people that are listening, when you do a really hard thing and you accomplish the marathon, you do like the thing that you've been waiting to do your entire life. You're like, now what? And a lot of the time there's some depression that comes from it because you're like, well, I made it to the mountaintop. Where's the reward, right? And so you pivot between the two seasons. So navigation is the period of time where you slow down, you set your vision, and you're like, what am I actually running towards? Because if you're just blindly sprinting, you're going to like overheat and die.
What's the target and how do we get there?
Exactly. That's the vision setting process. That's navigation. Acceleration is you're the cheetah that sees the gazelle and you're like, I know exactly how I need to run to get this gazelle and I'm about to like bite this motherfucker. And like when you're gone, you're gone. So it's just like, that's acceleration. So me and you are both equally in a period of acceleration where it's like, we've taken the time, we've gotten clear, we've got the team on board, we know exactly where we're going, how we're going to do it. Now it's just a matter of putting foot to gas and executing. But it's just like, after you execute, then you go back to a period of navigation. Okay, now what? What are we doing next? You know, like, how do we want to scale? Do we want to go this direction or this direction? But then that's just pulling over to the side of the road and getting gas. But how many entrepreneurs do you know that just never do that? And they're just, okay, cool, next race, next race, next race, next race. Now I've got $1 billion under management. Now I want $2 billion. For what? Is that actually going to change your life? It's just asking those questions. That concept, navigation acceleration, completely changed my life, dude.
Yeah, that's really good. If you love real estate investing, passive income, and tax benefits, but don't have the time, my company, Summers Capital, is buying boutique hotels right now. We source the deals, we renovate the properties, and we even handle all the day-to-day management, making it truly hands-off for our investors. If you want to learn more to see if we can help you, visit summerscapital.com/invest to book a call with our team. Again, that's summerscapital.com/invest. Now back to the show. Yeah, man. So I don't know, dude. I realized I'm like, I was able to build all this, you know, by going out and being social and drinking and all that sort of thing. But I'm like, okay, well, how much more can I do now when I'm not drinking? And that was a big takeaway, dude. This past weekend, I must say this past weekend, I did more than in any other weekend my entire life. It was like, I did all the social events at night and I got that fixing because I'm a charismatic dude. I get energy from being out and like socializing and being in the industry and all that sort of thing. Love that stuff. But now I get to do more of that because I'm not set back. And then in the daytime on the weekends, I'm still getting my workouts in and I'm working on the business for where I wasn't doing that before.
Exactly.
And I'm like, wow, this is like a game changer, dude. And then the end of the weekend comes and I'm like dialed and juiced up, ready for Monday morning. I remember every single little conversation I had throughout the entire weekend. And I'm like, this is pretty freaking cool, dude.
Yeah.
This is pretty freaking cool, man. This is a whole new world for me. And
this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
I don't ask people, what's your perfect life? I ask them, what's your perfect Tuesday?
Mm.
It's easier to quantify, you know, you're like, yo, I don't want to drink. I want to be clear. I want to wake up. I want to have like a clear head. And that's how you're viewing like a Saturday right now. What's a perfect Saturday?
Why do you think so many people in America drink to have fun?
Dude, I'm there. You know, I used to drink a lot and now I'm drinking a little bit less because I had the same phenomenon as you where it's just like the cost of the hangover doesn't benefit. Like the ROI is not there. Like, okay, I can go have fun. What am I sacrificing for that fun? I'm sacrificing an entire day's worth of productivity here. And so I probably will still continue to drink, but I haven't been drunk in a long time, you know, but I'll have a couple. But people doing it just because, I mean, I think it's just you want to like let your guard down and just be like yourself because we all have that voice in our head that's just like, show up this way, do this, say this, be cool. But I think the closer that you can get to just living your truth, like you don't even need alcohol to be that person that's kind of helping you get there. You can just do it. Now, I'm not there yet. I mean, what you just said, like I've done it a couple of times. I'm not 100% there where I can be out and just like be the only sober person and having a blast. My buddy Aaron, he will buy a table for like thousands of dollars and he will always buy the table and he doesn't drink. But he loves the energy and he loves being out there.
I'm going to do that actually this weekend. So we have a yacht meetup this Saturday and it's 5 to 9. And I'm like, okay, well, 9 o'clock hits. We have a lot of people flying in from out of town for this meetup. And so we got to have something lined up for after. And so, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm going to get a table for a bunch of us and, you know, I'll pay for it, even though I'm not going to drink. Because I like being out and, I like the industry stuff. I think this is just going to be a new season for me to where I'm doing this stuff sober so I can wake up the next morning and just be freaking dialed, dude.
Love it.
And yeah, I think a lot of people drink. And you know, I'm looking back to my college days is what I'm thinking of right now. You know, in college, you're young. Almost everyone drinks in college. And if you didn't drink in college, like you just weren't in the group. And I think, you know, back then people drank because it's just the thing you do. And, you know, quite frankly, you're around a bunch of strangers and you're in a party atmosphere. Like you drink, it kind of like lets the edge off a little bit. And I think that's why a lot of people still drink today. I feel like a lot of these clubs and a lot of these, you know, bars and restaurants, a lot of them are built for people to have drinks and kind of forget about their work week, you know? But I don't know, dude. I feel like now I'm just a confident man. I'm loose. I've had so many conversations with so many people that I'm like, I can be out in a situation now and have dialed conversations with people that are drinking and I can have completely like control and complete fun. And I don't need to be intoxicated anymore, dude.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Dude, at the end of the day, it's just like the most freeing thought that you can have is nobody's thinking about you. And like, that's what the alcohol is for, is to look cool for every, like the alcohol is more for other people than it is for yourself when you think about it. Like you want to like, oh, I want to go talk to that pretty girl. You know, I want to go hit on that girl. I want to go, oh, I don't know anybody in this town. I'm going to go have a couple of drinks, loosen up, go meet new friends, right? So you're just caring about other people's perceptions of you. But the reality is they're not thinking about you at all. So it's like, even if you go crash and burn, like in your pickup, or you go like meet somebody that don't want to be your friend, they don't want to talk to you. Okay, they're not going to think about you at all afterwards. Cool, move on. And so it's like the closer we can get to that mean and just be confident in ourselves and comfortable in our own skin, the less we need that social lubrication, right?
Yeah. And to your point, man, I think like, you know, if you are going to go, let's say you're in college or whatever, you're going to hit on girl. If you are sober or maybe one drink in, your game is probably way more on point than if you're 4, 5, 6 drinks in.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
And then how many times in college you take that girl home on the weekend from like, you know, a frat party or whatever it was, or a late night at the bar. And it's like, you don't even remember it. It's just like a blur, you know? But now it's like, you remember every little detail and you're just like so dialed.
The only thing that tequila helps is my Spanish.
Your Spanish.
The tequila helps my Spanish.
That's pretty good. Mi español es muy mal, but we'll have to link up in Medellin, dude.
So practicando.
Yeah, yeah. I do love Medellin. So I don't know, man. So like, we got a yacht meetup this weekend. We got our beers and deals meetup next week. So I'm gonna rock it sober, and I'm excited, man. I'm excited. It's gonna be fun, and I don't know, man. This is I think it's a new thing for me, and I'm excited to kind of see how it evolves and how much sharper I can get, how much more I can do. So TBD. I'm definitely gonna post my results, my findings, and document the whole thing. So I'm excited for it, and we'll see where it goes.
Sweet.
Yeah, man. So dude, you got this book. You're traveling. You got the podcast. What else are you doing, dude? You got your online community as well. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the reason we built the community was I've spent over $100,000 on online courses and I've never finished one. Have you?
I'm not a big course guy. Well, I love communities.
Exactly.
I love communities.
I love communities too.
I'm not a big course guy.
So I called my shot on Brandon Turner's podcast. And I'll call it here too. I think online courses are going to phase out over the next 5 years. And I think that the people that pivot to the community model and that do it the best and do it right now and like get ahead of the game are going to be the ones that see the asymmetric return over the next 5 to 10 years. I think the people that have the best communities will build, like in 2008, like after that, there was a huge opportunity in the like real estate world, right? I view that same as today with community, because now we're out, like COVID was our 2008. Now people are craving to be around people like them. And so like for us, for our community, like I realized, okay, cool. These online courses, how many courses are there that teach you how to buy hotels, how to buy multifamily, how to flip houses, all this different stuff. And I'm friends with the people that are doing them and they make millions of dollars doing it. But I'm just saying, like for me personally, and for you and a lot of people listening, I'm like, dude, I don't care if this course has the best information, hundreds of hours of it. I don't have the attention span to sit here after work or after what I'm doing and implement this. You need systems and you need community and you need like a container and accountability to actually pull it off. So for us, we were just like, let's build that. But more importantly, let's build standards for it. So like our thing is like, you can't just join our community. You have to apply for it. And you have to do like a couple of different touches, because what we do is we help high performers. So we help people that already are making, and we just have it. You don't have to make $100,000 to $600,000 a year, but it's a pretty good indication that you're a high performer in what you do. So we tell everybody you need accountability, access, and massive levels of action. We don't help with the action part. So we track engagement in our group, because just like you've probably been in communities, you'll have 700 people in a Facebook group. You'll have 7 people talking. And so when people join our thing, we're like, we track everybody's engagement, everybody's like connections, and we see what they're doing. We have a full-time person that's their one job is to track the community engagement. And as soon as we see somebody that's like 30, 60 days disengaged, they're not doing anything, they're not submitting deals, they're not even looking or talking to anybody, we kick them out.
Mm-hmm.
So it, like, that is our group. That is my baby, dude. Like running this business is like my child. We have about 300 members now. It's all I focus on. Our goal is to help 1 million people replace corporate with cash flow. And it's like literally like my life's passion. And I can go into like how we built the business. I've shared that on podcasts before and it's helped a lot of people. We did it in a way that's really predictable and scalable.
Let's do that, man. Let's talk about it. So you talked about kind of how it came to fruition, but how did you go out there and build it? How did you get your first handful of members?
Yeah, so I did this before I had a following. So you can do this with zero following, just like a handful of people. But you can just, if you follow this process and you do it the right way, you can build any business. This is how I built every single business that I've got right now. I've got 1.5 seven-figure companies, because the other one's going to hit seven figures at the end of this year.
So this will work for someone that has an online fitness training,
anything,
weight loss coaching program online, anything like that?
Anything, yeah. Okay. So what you do first is you do the thing yourself. Simple, right? But nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
Like, do
so
the thing.
Go get in good shape.
Go get in good shape. Great. Document your process doing it. Start with the content. Just post about what you're doing, all right? It all begins with content. So we start there and we start sharing, like, hey, you know, I did this diet, this training plan, just to use fitness as an example. All right. Eventually, you'll get to a point where you have inbound messages that are asking you for help. And then you'll get maybe two DMs, 10 DMs a week. Once you get to a point where you're getting like 5 to 10 messages a week from strangers or your friends that are asking for help, then you're like, oh, okay, cool. You don't set up a course yet. You don't set up anything paid yet. What you do is you say, cool, I'm going to go like hop on calls with you and help you guys for free. That's where you start. So you create a free resource to collect your email, because everything is email list. Like, that is where the money is made.
Yeah, some sort of lead magnet.
Some sort of lead magnet. So give something away for free, or you coach them for free. And this is called finding product market fit.
Yeah.
So what I did personally was...
You did a free challenge or something like that.
Yeah. So what I did personally for Action Academy was, we had the podcast. People started DMing me while I was in Brazil, and they're like, how the fuck are you doing this? Like, how are you pulling this off? And then, like, I was getting like 20 to 50 DMs a week, and this was with 4,000 followers, nothing crazy. And so I was like, you know what? Like, I'll do something. I don't know what I want to build, so I'm going to ask you guys and we'll build it together. So I was like, I'll do 100 free coaching calls for 15 minutes with you guys. It took me a month and a half to do, but I did 100 calls and I asked all of them the same questions. Where are we at today? Where are we trying to get to? What are the roadblocks that are preventing you from getting there? And I would take notes every single call. And what I did was I built the business from the customer feedback. So what most people do is they build a business and then they present it to the customer at the back end, right? And they're like, hey, I built this thing. It took me a year. Nobody wants it because you didn't solve for the right problem.
Hmm.
So you start with the problem and then you build the solution. So for me, I was like, what do you need? And everyone's like, I'm lacking clarity. I don't know where I'm going. I'm lacking confidence. I've never done a big deal before. How would I do that? I'm lacking community. I'm not around other people that are doing big deals like this or people to hold me accountable. And lastly, I'm lacking capital, dude. I don't know where people raise millions of dollars. I don't know how to do that. I was like, sick. Okay, cool. I'm going to go create that resource for you for all four of those things. And so after these calls, I know my customer like the back of my freaking hand. Then I go create the paid thing and I go back to those first 100 people that I helped for free. And that's my core client base. And now I go to them. I say, hey, like, I built the thing. And like, literally for me, it was an email that said, hey, built this thing, $1,500 ? And I just put like my Cash App and my Venmo. And I made $100,000 living in Brazil in like 24 hours with no bank account, no landing page, no marketing,
just
no business.
An email said, what are the chances you would pay $1,500?
Because I gave them so much value for free.
Yeah.
Like, I helped them and I gave them the answers. And I said, hey, I don't have anything for you yet. They're like, we want more. I was like, I don't have it yet, but I'll build it and I'll email you when it's ready. And that's what I did. And so I made a course, of course. And that's what I originally started at. But then when I realized this is like 2022, then afterwards it's called iteration. So now that you have product market fit, then you give them the paid thing. You make your first dollar as fast as possible. Now you iterate based off of the feedback. So now I go to the people and I say, what do you like? What do you hate? What should I change? And they're like, the education's good. The information's cool. But what we really love is the people. And I said, huh, wrong business model. So I swapped the business model from a paid course with a free community to a paid community with a free course. And so that was our final pivot. So to summarize everything and recap it, post content about what you're doing, do the thing, have a free offer to where you're directly talking to your customer and you're interviewing them. You're not pitching them. You're asking them what they want, what they need help with. Build that thing, which is called a minimum viable product, an MVP. It's not the final thing, but tell them, hey, like, I'm doing this thing. I have no idea what I'm doing. It's the first version. It's going to be $5,000. I'll give it to you for $1,500 as a discount, but I'm going to need you to help me build this and give me feedback here. So then at that point, that's your MVP. Then you iterate, and then that's where you release your final product to the public. And that's what we did. Now we do $1.4 million a year, and it's super fun.
And remind me, so the community you're offering that is a free community, or that's the paid community?
That's the paid community.
The paid community.
Yeah, so it started as the paid course with a free community. And then in 2023 is when we launched, like, okay, now we're a annual paid mastermind. And then we just made that free course, the onboarding. We just gave it for free.
One thing I learned with our community is yes, the real value is the community and the connections, access to all the members in the community. That's a real value. And so, you know, how do you keep the community high is you say no to folks that don't fit the mold. If they don't meet the criteria, you don't let them in, because once you start jeopardizing the quality of the folks in the group, it's going to bring the whole group down. But you keep it high quality, keep it high, you know, high quality members, forward thinking people of abundance that are doing big things, then it sells itself.
Yeah, that's why we only do 30 members a month. We found that to be our sweet spot.
As far as onboarding?
Yeah.
Because how do you just do it, like one onboarding a month, or how does that work?
No, it's a rolling onboarding, but it's just like, we have like a 90-day like cohort. So when everybody goes, like they have like personal coaching, they have group coaching, but at the end of the day, like we just realized if we introduce more than 30 people, 30 new members into the community at like a given time in 1 month, it kind of like floods it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit too much newness. We have like 300 members. So to grow 10% in 1 month would be like a little bit much. So I know that I'm leaving revenue on the table. We don't do paid ads. We don't do anything. So it's just all organic inbounds. So I know that I'm leaving money on the table, but I feel it's the correct thing because those 30 people get assimilated and like really connected within that group, and we can really provide them like that one-on-one. And then it gets to, okay, cool. Now we can get the next 30, the next 30. So it's just a matter of what business model do you want to run. For us, we were like, we'd rather charge more and we continuously increase the price. We'd rather charge more with less people instead of doing like more people for less.
Totally.
It's just whatever your preference is.
Yeah. And I think by going that route, you will naturally or organically keep the quality of the group higher.
Bingo.
If you would. And then you mentioned that you do you do retreats.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the retreats are everything. So that all started, I did it the exact same way to like prove out the model that I literally just talked about. Did the same thing with the retreat. So first time we did it, we did Costa Rica. And I was just like, I have no idea what I'm doing. It's going to be $2,500 all inclusive. We lost our ass with it, which is okay. You know, whatever. You kind of have to lose money on your first event. It's a given. And so I threw this event and I was just like, okay.
And you covered the whole event?
Well, no, yeah.
Oh, they paid $2,500.
They paid $2,500, but like, yeah, but like we lost like, I think like 12,000. Not bad, but lost 12,000 overall. So we threw this event. I was just like, I've never done this before. Is this something that you guys want? And they're like, yeah, we're craving it. Like they all want to go like do what I was doing, which was traveling around the world. And so we did Costa Rica, and it was 45 minutes away from the airport, which was not what I recommend. And it was like too rural. It was Tamarindo. It was a surfing town. And we hosted this event. It was awesome. And everyone had a great time. And then we're like, okay, cool. Like this actually genuinely helped. Everyone was meeting in person for the first time. It was really cool. And I was like, let's change, let's make it better, and then let's do another one. And so the next one was Cabo, and that one was like heaven on earth. When we did Cabo, it was like we doubled the amount of people. The first one we had like maybe like 47 people. The next one we had like 70 some odd. So Cabo was like insane. We got these mega mansions up on the hill in Pedregal and Cabo, and we had like $20 million of mansions. And we were just like, dude, this is so sick. And we had like everyone had the best time. And from that point, I was just like, this is my favorite part of the business. Like, this is a freaking blast.
Throwing the retreats.
Yeah. And then so we start asking people, you know, so MVP, $2,500. Cabo was $3,250. So we upped the price a little bit. And then for the next one, now it's $4,000 or $6,500 for Tulum. If you want to come and bring your spouse. So we just ask them, how can we make it better? How can we change it? And for us, what we love doing is we don't like doing like the room block model at like a mega, because it's easy. You know, I could be like, I could throw a retreat in Austin, Texas very easily and be like, all right, here's your room block at St. Regis. Like, here's the conference center. Like for us, what we try to do is the boutique route. Like we want to book out the entire boutique hotel and like some mega mansions next door to it, which now like led to our entire business model, which is I was like, okay, well now we're renting these places out. We're spending $250,000 for our next event in Tulum. It's just only for Action Academy members. I'm like, why don't we just buy these properties together that we're staying in? And that's what's now leading into 2025. We're going into the boutique hotel space, which is why I'm excited to host you on my podcast. And
yeah.
I get to have Rich be talking.
Let's go.
Yeah. So rock
dude,
and roll.
We just had our first retreat in Cabo for our boutique hotel community. And dude, it was great.
Yeah. Britt was there.
Investor Girl Britt was there. We connected. So that was the first one. And we had really good turnout. And we did a room block with a nice hotel right on the beach. And then we did like a lot of like nice dinners, and we did some excursions. So we like rented a boat, went out in the water, We did like ATV and like tequila tasting, and it was really cool. And then we did a good like mastermind session on, mindset and all that sort of stuff. But it was good. That was the first one. Feedback mm-hmm. was great. And now I'm like, let's do more of these.
That's a blast.
And so thinking, you know, maybe I would like to do something quarterly. And maybe two of those are like really dialed international. And then maybe the other two are kind of a little bit more low key, kind of domestic, something that's easy for people to get to, lower costs, and maybe less of a time commitment. So I don't know. We're thinking the next one sometime this summer. It will be here in San Diego, I think. And then the next big one will probably be in the fall. So I don't know. We got to figure it out. But like you, man, I like hosting events, and you know that's what we do here in San Diego. We've been hosting these meetups and yacht stuff, and I'm like, let's do more of this stuff because it's fun. But it's the community aspect. It gets everyone together. Everyone gets pumped up, energized, and like you said, and this is the first time a lot of these folks are meeting in person outside of these virtual calls. You know, and so it's kind of cool and it's exciting.
Yeah, and it's the same phenomenon that occurs with building your team versus like helping other people. It's like, I traveled a lot by myself, and it's like, maybe I'd go get like a nice mansion in Brazil, like floor to ceiling glass windows, or maybe like I'm staying somewhere really cool in Istanbul or a penthouse or something. But like, what you get to a certain point where me is not enough anymore, you need to go from me to we. And when you go from me to we, it's like, even with the experiences, like it was the most joy. I call it a 10 out of 10 moment. Like, so for me, a 10 out of 10 moment is like when I walk into an Airbnb or a hotel for the first time that I'm excited about and it blows me away. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like the highest ROI on happiness that I have, like an ROH return on happiness for my dollars spent, which is why I spent all my money on hotels and Airbnbs. And so when I was able to get like the $20,000 a weekend mansion for my people and watching them walk in, like where a lot of these people, they haven't traveled around the world. Maybe they've gone on vacation once in the last like year or two and they're still working their corporate jobs, and watching them walk into these mansions, I was just like, dude, this is like an 11 out of 10. Yeah. I didn't know that this existed.
Dude, I'm the same way, man.
And so now I was just like, dude, like I've been looking for my next asset class because I sold all my single family and now I'm sitting on cash. And I've been like, what is my next thing after this community? Because I'm not just going to help people like replace corporate jobs for the rest of my life. Like I want to like get my acquisition machine going again. And I was like, what asset do I want to do? Because I just don't like multifamily. It's just the idea, I can do it. But the idea of taking a C-class multifamily and renovating it and converting it to a B-class apartments, it's boring to me. I don't want to do it. So when it comes to like boutique hotels and hospitality, I was just like, this fires me up. Mm. Like it's like a business and real estate combined.
It is, yeah.
And it's so much fun. So that's why I'm excited. I know nothing about it right now, but I'm excited to like, I'm documenting that through these podcasts so I can come back later and be like, look, guys, like I told y'all when I knew nothing, and now watch what I did in 6 months. Watch what I did in 12 months. That's the importance of documenting your journey instead of just popping up out of nowhere and being like, oh, look at what I did.
Dude, I love what you said, though. And I'm the same way. You said that, you like doing these cool experiences because you get to share it with others. You get to see their mindset shift and they get inspired as well. And yeah. So it's a whole shift in mindset. And that's why I like doing these nice things and like, you know, going and getting the bottle service or going and getting these nice experiences and then sharing it with folks. And I love that, too, dude. So. That's big. Yeah, man. So right now you sold your single family stuff.
Yeah.
And you're looking for that next thing. And so maybe it's the boutique hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're kind of thinking or what?
Yeah. So I do everything off of models like I talked about before. So Walt Disney has this wonderful model. I forgot to bring his like mind map, but he has this giant mind map where he has like Disneyland, like content, like the creative studio in the middle of this mind map. And he has like television, newspaper, Disneyland, all these different businesses, and they're all vertically integrated, and it has all these lines crisscrossing and intersecting each other and showing like how each business funnels into the other. And so we did the same thing with ours. So the first business that we built off the back of the podcast was the community. So Action Academy Podcast, Action Academy Community. And then that led into Action Academy Travel, like Sexton World, which is my company for the travel events company. And now that's leading into the boutique fund. So now we're going to do boutique hotels that all funnels into that. And now I'm also in the market for buying like a production or a video company. Like that's something I'm looking for, like a virtual assistant company, something that we can vertically integrate. So all we think about is like, what does this machine look like 5 or 10 years in the future? And how do we purchase that through people, like in salaries or through acquisition? So like for me, I'm just like, the number one question that I'm asking for my investment thesis straight up is, what would be sick? Mm-hmm. What would be the most fun, dude? Totally. Like, seriously, because look, you know more than anyone, you can make millions of dollars doing any of these strategies. So I'm like, dude, I want to do the one that's most fun for me. And like, for me, what really wets my whistle is like, I want to buy some like badass boutique luxury properties, some trophy properties where I can like, somebody sees that and they think of me and they think of me and they see that property and they're like, that's synonymous with each other. So like, I'm excited. It's something I'm proud of.
I like that. Dude, I got a question for you. So you're doing 5 podcasts a week, which is more than a lot of folks.
Yeah.
I do know one person that's doing the daily.
John?
No, I'm thinking, who is it? He's a big apartment investor. Joe Fairless. Joe Fairless. But he's not hosting all of them anymore, but he was.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so 5 is a lot. And how do you, I guess, doing 5, and how do you batch them? Do you once a week, or are you recording multiple times a week? How do you batch it?
I do about every day. So I just don't have the bandwidth to do multiple deep conversations a day. So for instance, like today, I had to say no to like 7 people because I was just like, me and Rich are going back to back. I'm doing yours, you're doing mine. I'm done. So like, it's a known rule on my team, 2 podcasts a day is like the max. And normally I'll try to have them spaced out a couple of hours just to like decompress. Because I want to be, when we're doing this, this is when I'm in like my flow state. So it's just like you're locked in with somebody, you're super dialed in. And it takes a lot of mental bandwidth. So I do 1 or 2 a day. And normally, like a perfect week for me would be 2 podcasts on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday afternoons. I only do afternoons normally. So that's what I do. I guest on 3 shows and I host 3 shows. That's 2 interviews that I'll post and 1 in the hopper. So I'm normally like 30 days out, 60 days out.
Oh, that's pretty far out.
Yeah. So what I normally do is I'll do 2 guest interviews, 2 multimillionaire on my show, and then I'll do 3 solo shows. And those 3 solo shows are my journey, things that I'm learning as I'm going across, like, you know, we just crossed our $1 million mark. So now like we're in the hunt from 1 to 3 million. All right. What does that look like? It looks like changing up your personnel, adding to your team. What do you do when you want these people, but you can't afford them yet? Like, you've got this content team in here. I'm like, I can't afford that shit yet. But can I, like, when do you know, you know? And so these are the questions that I'm talking about, like in those solo shows. And it's just like, is travel like the answer to what you're looking for? And just building and documenting the journey from 0 to 10 million. And so those solo shows I'll do like on a Sunday afternoon, it'll take me like an hour. I'll do all of them. And they'll normally be like 10 to 15 minutes per show, just little bite-sized pieces.
And you have a podcast editor that edits it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my executive assistant. Yeah. It's not too difficult to edit a podcast, to be completely honest, but to edit video is very difficult.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the hard part, but it's worth it, man. The reason I do it, and people have asked, the main reason I do it was I started with 2. I started with 1 a week, and then I immediately went to 2 because I was just like, I have too much demand. And then I went from 2 to, okay, I need to like share what I'm doing so the audience can listen to me. And I'll tell this to every single person that's listening. I don't care if you guys are brand new or if you guys are seasoned. The people that are listening to the podcast are listening because of you, Rich Summers. They're not listening because of me. You can have Grant Cardone. You can have Tony Robbins. Like for me, I'll have maybe a 10% spike in downloads. I'm not sure if you've seen the same. I'll have a little bit of a spike in downloads, but then it'll go back to like me talking myself and then it'll be the same downloads. So it's just like people are listening for the guest's perspective combined with yours. Because they could go listen to the guests on another show if they wanted to.
Yeah, dude, I had a big takeaway, and it was kind of humbling. I had an old podcast for 3 years with 2 old partners. It was called The Multifamily Takeoff. And we were buying real estate together. We all quit our jobs together. And it was a successful partnership, but I decided to remove myself from the partnership because I realized I was not going to reach my full potential under that structure. And it was a tough decision. And so I told him, I said, you guys keep the podcast. I'm going to start my own. And so I started this one. I took everything I liked and didn't like about the old one and I made it into this. But I still had the login for like their old podcast. And after I left, I saw their downloads completely plummet. And I was like, oh my God, that was like, I didn't realize that so many people were listening because of me.
Hot
and
damn.
That was like, that gave me a lot of confidence. So when I started this one, that gave me a lot of confidence, right?
Yeah.
And so to your point, it's like, yeah, you're right. When we bring on bigger guests, yeah, we get a little spike in downloads. But
not much.
But yeah. You're right. A lot of people are listening because of the host, which is definitely really humbling.
Yeah. And I did that Monday. So then I was like, okay, now I'm doing 1 solo show per week and then 2 guests. Now I'm doing 3 episodes a week. And the God's honest truth to why I upped it to 5 was I was just really pissed off whenever I would have like the spike in downloads, and then I would have the day I didn't do one, it would drop, and then it'd come back up when I did another episode. And I was just like, well, how much more work would it be for me to do two more 10-minute episodes? I was like, I could do that. And I started that like 2 years ago. And now ever since, like every single day, it keeps me sharp. It keeps me thinking about content. It keeps me meeting new people. And now, like, not everyone's going to listen to every episode, but the intention is every single day when you open up your podcast player and you refresh it, I'm at the top every single day. And you're like, well, let me go check and see which one of these two or three episodes really talked to me this week. Because sometimes they're on social media. Sometimes they're on multifamily. Sometimes they're on business acquisition. Maybe you're only in business acquisition, but that one that I posted Monday, you were reminded of that on the Friday episode. So, and then I use that to market my community, which is the first opening of every single podcast episode is, sup, you're listening to another podcast, huh? Want to do something about it? Awesome. Information is not the answer. Implementation is. If you guys want to check out the community, click the link, book a 15-minute intro call. Happy to coach for free and see if it's a fit.
Yeah, I love that.
That's every single podcast.
And you just do that live or it's pre-recorded?
I do it live. I mean, it's that easy.
Yeah. I like that. What you just go out Monday through Friday once a day?
Yeah, Monday through Friday.
Yeah. We started off with two with this one. So my old podcast was once a week. And that was on a Monday morning. And, you know, we committed to it, so we stuck to it. But what I realized, a lot of holidays fall on Mondays. So a lot of people don't want to listen on Monday. And then a lot of, you know, you don't want to work on them on a holiday. So this one we did Tuesday, Thursday mornings. To start, we did two a week. And then about, I don't know, what do you think, Parker? Like 9 months ago, we decided to go three a week. September. So yeah, about 8 or 9 months ago.
I think we went to three a week is perfect.
So we go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And we can schedule that to go out. We typically schedule that to go out on a Friday, and then it goes out Saturday morning. And then he convinced me recently to make another hire. So we're going to hire a second full-time content person. And so I'm like, okay, well, how's this going to change the output? So he's like, well, we can do five or six episodes a week now. And we're not going to record more, but we have so much content from our old stuff that we can go and clip out 12-minute segments on, like, this is a conversation about, you know, building your personal brand on social media that I have with Brian.
100%.
You know, this is a segment on whatever. And so it's like little quick hitters, but we can double down on the episodes. And so, we're going to try it. We're going to bump it up. And it's a way to get more downloads and provide a lot more value too, to the listeners. So,
yeah, I repost old shows too. Like, people are like, that's like taboo, but I'm like, dude, even with my content, like if I have a video that bangs, I'm like, okay, yeah, cool.
You gotta,
like,
repurpose that stuff.
Yeah. So I've got like a 5-6 month window I normally try to stick to, but like there's 6 months worth of new listeners that didn't listen to that last time, or maybe somebody didn't see it. And so I'll repost it. I'll just say, and even on my Instagram, like I'd say probably a quarter of my Instagram videos, I do two Instagram videos a day. And so I'm like,
every day,
every day.
So 14 a week.
That's every single day.
Yeah. That's pretty much my standard now.
I'll repost them. No, also bang.
Yeah. For me now, I'm doing two a day. And then some days I'm doing three. But dude, you're right. You got to repost the old stuff, because let's say 6 months goes by, you got all those new followers that didn't see your old stuff. And those bangers that you repost,
it's a proven video.
They'll do even better than the last one.
I mean, like, if I have a video that gets 100,000 views, then I know at minimum it's going to get another 100,000. But a lot of the times, like if you post it like three or four times over a year, like one of them will pop off to 1 million.
Yeah,
like it's just good content is good content.
It is good content. Dude. Yeah, I love it. Cool, bro. Well, I appreciate you coming through and hanging out, dude. I love everything you're doing. I'm a big fan. Where can the listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can reach me like at Brian Lubin everywhere. It's just my name.
Yeah, go check out Brian's Instagram. He's got some good content in there. Very inspiring. And I'm a fan. So go check it out.
Appreciate it. Yeah. And if they want to go check out the book, it's From Passive to Passionate. It's on Amazon. And you can also go to quityourjob.co.co. I don't have .com.
That's a fancy one, bro.
I'm going for those MFers, dude.
.co.co?
.co. I don't have .com. It's bought by a company in Austin, Texas.
Is your email brian@quityourjob.co?
Quityourjob.co. No, my email is brian@theactionacademy.co.
Okay.
But yeah, quityourjob.co is our email, our website that's got a bunch of free stuff, so they can check that out too.
There it is. Go shoot Brian a follow. And dude, we'll have to connect in maybe Medellin. Let me know next time you're down there, and we'll connect. And you said this summer you're going to be doing some traveling.
Yes, sir.
If you're traveling in August, let me know, because I'm going to be probably taking a little trip and kind of all over. So we'll have to link up again, dude.
It's rock and roll.
There it is. He's Brian Lubin. I'm Rich Summers. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in the next one. Peace.